As I said earlier, it's good to have the Danfords with us. I think they were here once before, if I remember correctly. And our brother Danford and his family are in evangelism. They have kind of their own ministry, and they also work with Brother Alexander quite a bit as well, which many of us know. So appreciate them coming and being with us. They were passing through and needed a place to park, and so we figured we might as well work them while they're here. Amen. And so we appreciate them being with us. He'll be preaching this morning again tonight, and they're going to sing. So once they're done, Brother Alexander will just go ahead and come.
Bye. What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free.
As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on His throne, see Him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before Him, all adore Him, as you live to love Him more.
Family. I trust you enjoyed that. I sure did. We enjoy coming here. There's no doubt. Last time we stopped in was on our way to a meeting, and this time we're stopping in on our way to a meeting. We just came from Laurel, Indiana, so we drove. It was only 10 and a half hours yesterday. That's a blessing to us because the last couple have been 12, so it makes a difference. Amen. What a blessing. And then if you're here visiting, I just go ahead and let you know publicly, if we lived in the area, this would be our church. And there's a few reasons for that. Just a practical reason. One, when you drive in and you see the property and you see the building, it's clean, it's organized, it looks sharp. You know what that tells me? That they believe that God's important to them. And I notice those kinds of things. I can't help it. I just do. Okay, so that's a blessing. Secondly, well, this is probably actually should be first, but their doctrine's straight here, amen. They're Baptists, And they have good music. That's another part of that as well. I enjoyed the music this morning. Sunday school was good too. That was good. Good teacher. I believe you can get some help. I had some help this morning. Found out I don't have to eat broccoli ever again. Amen. If you don't like it, I don't even have to have it on my plate. Amen. I said, this is good. And then he said he got distracted once going down the highway. He maybe looked at a sign or something. I know what it was. It's a Cracker Barrel sign. Had pancakes up there. Well, think about it. If it had broccoli, would he have been distracted? There's the point. No, and I'm teasing with you a little bit, but seriously, class was really good. I appreciate it, brother. Solid right out of the Bible. I really enjoyed that. So thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity again. And then tonight, we'll be back. Family, have a couple more songs for you. We trust be a blessing to you. And then we'll break the bread of life again together this evening. So make it back, if at all possible. Now, if the rapture happens, that's fine. We'll just meet, let King Jesus do it. We'd be glad to sit at his feet, no doubt. Amen. Keep going. That'll get a Baptist shouting right there. All right, well, here's the title of the message this morning is, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Turn to Psalm 34, please. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Also, a blessing to hear the pages of God's Word turn. And I hear y'all start another church, or have, in Joplin, is that right? So, okay, this is coming up. And well, that's exciting. That's New Testament missions in action. That's church planning. Amen. Anyway, I got to focus now. Here we go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we're before you this morning. We're needy people. We ask that you'd meet with us. We know that your presence is here. Your word says so. But I pray that that presence this morning would be manifest and meeting the needs of the hour here. Lord, if there's lost, I pray they'd be saved. The saved, I pray, would be encouraged and their faith strengthened. Lord, sin rebuked if need be, but there'd be repentance and restoration that we might have revival, yea, even this morning. We trust you to meet with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Well, again, it's a joy to be here. And I just would like to have everyone understand that there's no way on earth that we could possibly fully expound this passage in 40 to 50 minutes. This could easily be a 13-week Sunday school lesson, and you'll probably have material left over. But my desire this morning is to give you a sample, a taste of where you would want to go home and grab this psalm and devour it for yourself. From the research that I've done on it, I've found that this is actually an acrostic for the Hebrew alphabet for those of you who are into Hebrew. I'm not, so it doesn't matter to me, but that's what I found out. So if you're into Hebrew, there you go. You're welcome, okay? But here's something I did find very interesting, that the introduction to this psalm, in my Bible, right at the top of this psalm, there's a couple of sentences there. Does your Bibles have that? Okay, let me read that here. It says, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Is that what y'all say? Yeah. Amen? Okay. Well, it's interesting. When I was reading that introduction to this psalm, it just intrigued me. So I went back and found that passage and come to find out that this Abimelech is actually Achish, king of Gath, in 1 Samuel 21. So either Achish had two names, or more than likely Abimelech could have been his title, which was common for the kings of the Philistines. For example, like Pharaoh is the title of the kings for Egypt. Or maybe Caesar was a title for the kings of the Roman Empire. So that would make perfect sense there. And then when you read this psalm, it doesn't mention any of the details of this historical account in this psalm. There are not any details here on how God gave the victory. And that really got me going. Then I'm thinking, if this is the background, I read those couple of sentences, went back and read the background, and now I'm reading the psalm. I don't see that. What's going on here? And I thought, wait a minute. Well, right here is even a tremendous lesson for us to learn. Rather than David focusing on all his problems and his trials that he was going through, what do we find in the psalm? We find him praising the Lord. So folks, when we're going through some trials, rather than focusing on the trials, and honestly, the more you think about it, the more down you become, and the more focused, and everything just seems to magnify and snowball. But if we were able to turn that trial into praise, I believe God would get himself honor out of it. And I also believe you'd get some help from it. Amen? Well, amen. Well, certainly, I mentioned David had some trouble going on in his life, and if you forgot what this background is, let me just give you a real quick synopsis of that to bring us up to speed for this passage. And so the trouble that David was going through in his life, he suffered from emotional hurt. Did you realize that emotional hurt is real pain? It sure is. See, he was rejected by the king, King Saul, whom he had done nothing but good for. That would hurt. Feeling rejection hurts. You see, it all started back when King Saul, he had sinned and he lost the power of God. And then Saul, the hand of God, now upon David. So that made him envious and jealous. And then the king pulled a switcheroo on David and gave him Michal rather than the daughter he had promised, because he knew that Michal would be a snare to David. Real nice father-in-law, isn't he? You know, and he asked for a dowry, hoping that David would get himself killed. And of course, God blessed him, and he returned twice the amount. And then it escalated to where King Saul, literally by his own hand, tried to kill David. And then Jonathan, King Saul's son, and David, they were like best buds. You know, they were really good friends. And he told Jonathan that I'm but a step from death. That's how real this was to David, what was going on. So then David, he literally flees for his life. And he shows up at the temple, and Abimelech's there, not Ahimelech, Abimelech, okay, similar name, but Abimelech is the priest, and he was hungry, and he asked for some food. And of course, we know that he had some showbread, and then he asked, are there any weapons here? I like that, asking about weapons in the house of God. I think that's a good thing. Amen? It's like, go team. Yeah. And the priest says, well, the only one, let me see here, yeah, the only one here, oh yeah, it's just this sword here that you killed Goliath with. And David said, oh, there's none like that one, I'll take it. Amen? Well, what a blessing that was. So David, I'm assuming, puts the sword on, and then he flees again for his life, and he goes to Achish, king of the Philistines. Now, I'm not sure if he still had the sword on or not when he went to the king, but that's not a good idea. So he goes to the king, maybe wearing the sword, because this is where we last seen him in the account, and he's coming before King Achish. He's coming for refuge, and the King Achish's men go, King, this is David. No, you don't get this. I mean, this is like King David. He's coming here. This is King David. Well, there's no way they could have known about Samuel anointing David for king yet. In the timeline, they couldn't have known that. But what they did know was the songs they heard about David. The reputation had preceded him. You remember the one that was like, Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his... Oh, you've read it, so you know the account here. So 10,000. So here he is, and then the Bible very plainly says, when he's in front of Achish, that David was sore afraid of Achish. I mean, it pushed him over the edge. He's stressed to the max, and he actually begins to act like a madman, like he had lost his mind, scrabbling at the wall, his spittle coming out and down on his beard. I mean, he literally is over the edge here, acting like a crazy man. Okay? That's the background of this psalm. I didn't read that here, did you? That's just amazing to me. Well, excuse me, I'm dealing with allergies. Anybody else deal with allergies? Okay, two of us. I understand. So here's David. He's hurt. He's feeling rejected. He's running for his life. And where he ran for refuge did not turn out like he thought it would. Instead, it blows up in his face, and now he's sore afraid, and he doesn't know he doesn't know what's going to happen or how he's going to get out of this mess he got himself into. Okay, so let me ask, have you been there? Have you been hurt? Have you ever felt rejected? Maybe running a little scared? Maybe. Even your life was in danger, and where you ran for help didn't turn out like you thought it would, but actually wound up being, more trouble? Well, amen. So let me ask a question for us to ponder when we get into this psalm. Here's the question. Don't raise your hand, okay? This is just for us to think about. Do you trust the Lord? No. I mean, in the hard times. Do you trust the Lord in the hard times with everything? Yeah. That's quite a challenge. It's quite a question. See, this psalm is actually in two sections. The first 10 verses deal with a hymn. It's a hymn. And I like that as well, because sometimes when we're going through life and life's happening, God to give us a song in the night. Isn't that a blessing? That's why it's so important to have good music, folks. God gives us a song, and I enjoy the congregation singing this morning. I really enjoyed the choir, though. Hallelujah. This is good. And the second half of this psalm, the other 12 verses, is actually a sermon that he preached. But for this morning's purposes, we're going to look at the first half, this psalm, this hymn, and it can be divided into three parts. So here's the first part. The first part is David vows to bless the Lord at all times. I see some taking notes, so I'll repeat it for you. David vows to bless the Lord at all times. Did you notice it said, at all times? I'm not there yet in my Christian walk. I've been saved 38 years. I praise God a lot along the way. But for some reason, when I get caught up in my troubles, that's what I'm thinking about. And when I'm all caught up in my troubles and that's what I'm thinking about, it kind of gets short over here on the praise. So I appreciate the fact that David, when he's going through those troubles, said, hey, you know what? I'm making a vow right here. I will. You know, I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. That's praising Him continually, even in the hard times. Did you realize that you and I can praise God even in the hard times? Hallelujah, folks. You know why? Because He's good. That's why. He doesn't wake up in the morning thinking, you know, I think I'll try to be good today. No, He's good already. The reason He is good is because He's good. That was deep, wasn't it? But it's the truth. Well, amen. And you can always praise Him for His mercy. Because none of us in here has been judged according to our iniquity. or we'd be dead already and in hell. So he's bragging on Jesus. So it says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Boy, folks, we could just get a hold of that. How's it going? Well, praise the Lord, it's going good. Why? Because God's good. You say, well, that's lying if you're going through trouble. Folks, if your heart and your hope is in Jesus Christ, then you can say that and be truthful. Nobody said, are you having fun going through the trial? Because then I'd have to say, huh, no. Okay? But I can have joy in the trial and praise my Savior because God is good. Look at verse next, 2 in case you lost place, but it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now, I want you to notice the contrast here. See, verse 1 says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my, what's it say? My mouth. Verse 2 says, my what? Soul. Your soul is different from your mouth. You figured that out, right? So it says his soul is going to make her boast in the Lord. How do you do that? What's he talking about? Folks, I honestly believe he's dealing with worshiping God. We worship God in spirit because he is spirit. And as we bow before him, our soul, our mind, our will, emotion, that boasting there is when our knee is bowed. In fact, worship. I think I dealt with worship last time. I can't remember for sure. I used to write it down, but I couldn't find where I wrote it. So anyway, it means to bow, kneel, or prostrate oneself on the ground in adoration of another. That's the definition of worship. So folks, when he's worshiping God, that would be his quiet time, the secret place. We call it devotions or whatever you call that time when you're meeting with God. And folks, I know that I'm always busy, and I imagine there's folks here that are busy, and I run into my prayer time and my Bible time, and I read it, and I pray, and I say, God, I need this, 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 and I got to go because, you know, it's time. And the Lord says, son, you need to slow down and back up maybe 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and just spend the first part of the devotion time, that secret place, if you will, and just worship him. Now, I can honestly say maybe I don't worship him every day, but since I've done this study about worship, it has really helped me in my private time, that secret place, to spend a few minutes just worshiping God. David said it like this, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord. That's what he's doing. He's boasting the Lord in his worship time. And then I got thinking about how these verses like fit together, like really good. Because what's in the heart comes out. So the reason you can say in verse 1 that he's going to continually praise his God is because verse 2, he's spending time worshiping him and boasting in who he is. He's his Lord and he's his Savior. And good night, that ought to cause some praise to come across our lips. Amen? Amen. And when that happens, the Bible says that the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The humble are the people that think, Lord, I can't do this on my own. That's humility. Lord, I need your help. I need thee every hour. Somebody used to write a song, huh? And I'm thinking, that's the humble. So here's the humble realizing their self, and here's somebody who's going through some trials, and they're praising God. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. In other words, when it comes testimony time in the local assembly, amen, right here in this New Testament church, when somebody might have been going through something and they stand up, I just like to praise the Lord and tell what the Lord's doing in our life. Then the rest of us, yea, the humble, should hear and be glad. And when we hear about how good God is, it ought to stir us up to stand up and say, that's him, that's my God, that's my Savior. Amen. It should stir us up. Don't you enjoy hearing somebody's testimony that's real and genuine? I'm not talking about trying to drum up some kind of pseudo praise service or something with the hyper emotions or something like that. But I'm telling you, friend, if God's doing something, especially in your own life, and you go to bragging on him and it doesn't stir something, maybe you ought to check, see if your heart's beating.
Amen.
Amen. Well, amen. When he says in verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." And to me, that's an interesting phrase because magnify means to make bigger. Your theme has a magnifying glass. It's dealing with prayer. Okay? It's making prayer bigger. I get the idea of what's going on there. But here's God who's big. He's so big you can't squeeze him in 24 hours. He's the God of eternity. He's still in Genesis 1:1. He's still in Revelation 20. Right now. And he's still right here today. A very present help in time of need. Our God's big. So how in the world are we going to magnify him? How do you make somebody who's big bigger? Well, I believe what it's talking about is when he gets glory and we glorify his name, then he's magnified, if you will. We put a magnifying glass in our life so that somebody else might see God in a big way.
Right, amen.
Amen. Let me give a practical example. And I don't know you folks real well. I met a few of you last time. It's good to see you back this time. And we really do enjoy being here and enjoy your pastor and his wife. And they're a blessing to us. But folks, you know why this is so important? For us to praise the Lord and that come from a heart of worship continually when we're going through the trials and the humble hearing and they're testifying to its truth about how big God is. I don't know who's visitors and who isn't. But I have known in the 38 years of being saved and 36 or 7 of that in the ministry, okay? I've seen a few things, and what I've seen, there's been a couple times where I've heard about a visitor may come in those doors as a last chance to find hope. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know if their situation is worse than what I described, or well, what the scripture gives the account of David's. And they're hurting. And you'll understand this when I say this in context, okay? They thought they would try church today. To see if there's anything to this. To see if it's for real or not. And if it's not, then they are right. There isn't any hope in this world. And they plan to go home and end it all. Folks, things like that happen still. Okay? So when they come in as their last ditch effort to find hope, they hear some saint stand and say, "I just want to praise God for his goodness and give a testimony." And somebody over here go, "Amen, that's him." And they say, "Pastor, I just want to tell you about what's going on in our life, how God was blessing us." And I heard a tremendous story about how this couple's able to adopt these couple of twins. That was God's hand. I mean, how could you not see God in that? And then I heard some out there already. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. There's that witness to humble hear what God's doing, and they're glad. Hey, that's right. And somebody's thinking, these people, they act like they really believe this stuff. Maybe there is some hope after all. Instead of going home and ending it all, they'll leave the door with a little bit bigger bounce in their step, thinking, you know, these people believe it and it's working for them. It just might work for me. Amen. Is that what the Lord does? Folks, this is exactly what it's talking about. So he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So David, he vows to bless the Lord at all times, and then he encourages others to join him, and then he lists us a few reasons to do so, and that's number 2. So number 2 is David relates his experience. Look with me in verse 4. David relates his experience. Verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Amen. Now, here's a part that just really, like, boy, when I read the scripture, my mind just does these kinds of things. He said he cried unto the Lord. You know what that means? He prayed. Okay? What did he pray? It's not recorded. Prayer's not recorded. So I went back to Samuel 21. And I read through there, and all I find him scrabbling on the wall with his spit coming out on his beard, acting like a crazy man. In other words, it's not recorded in Samuel either. Don't you find that interesting? Here's a psalm praising and blessing God about how God delivered him, and it doesn't say how he delivered him, and it doesn't say what he prayed to get him delivered. So I'm thinking, what an emphasis on prayer here, folks. I believe the reason that it was left out, sometimes the reason things aren't there, has just a powerful message that things are actually written. And think about this. If his prayer was there, then we might be tempted to think, okay, now I have to say it the same words and like David did for this to work. And that's not the case. The point of it is, he was in trouble and he prayed, yea, he cried out unto the Lord and God heard him. That's what's going on. So I want to encourage you folks, when you're in trouble, you cry out to God. That's called praying. Amen. So he might have been confused and not knowing how to pray. You ever been there? And he's messing up because he went to Achish for help and that didn't work out for him. Now he's sore afraid. Now he's acting like a crazy man. And I just want to tell you folks, sometimes when we go to the wrong place and when we went for help blows up in our face and we're feeling like we're going crazy and we're a madman now, we don't know what to do, we're confused, we don't even know how to pray, let me encourage you, pray.
Right.
You know what? You know what his prayer may have been? I don't know. You don't know because it's not recorded. It might have been, help! That works. That works. Sometimes we call them what, a flare prayer? Help! Well, that was deep. He said, he was like, I don't care how deep it was. I just need some help. Maybe it was this. Lord! I don't know. You don't know. But I do know this, that when we're in those kinds of situations, God wants us to cry out to him. And folks, that's kind of praying that gets a hold of God. And here's the blessing. We have a promise in the New Testament in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when we're struggling like that, stressed out, not even knowing how to pray, don't not pray because you don't know what you're doing. Lord, you can just tell God, I don't know how to pray, so I'm trying to pray right now. I just need your help. You know what? The Holy Spirit, God promised that he's going to get involved in that prayer and he'll make up the difference and he'll present it to God the Father. Well, glory, folks. There's some hope right there, but we're going to have to do some praying. It's not a time to run to the worldly things, to a beer bottle or a whiskey bottle or something, or immorality or dope or social media. Good night, folks. Let us cry out to our Savior. He's a good God.
Amen.
And even when I don't know how to pray, and I've messed up and I have myself in a mess now and I don't know which way's up and I'm in trouble, what I can do, cry out in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews 12:2, how's it say it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, when it says in the scripture that they looked to the Lord and were lightened, means they weren't ashamed. Do you realize no one will ever be ashamed when they look to the Lord. No one will ever come up empty-handed when they're looking to the Lord. I love this part. Look how this thing just escalates. We're in verse 6 now, and he says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of half his troubles." That's not what it says, is it? It says saved him out of all his troubles. Didn't say how, just said he did it. That's the point. God gets the glory. Amen. So here it is. Oh, boy. Who's in context? Who's this poor man? Who is it? It's David. And even though his prayer is not recorded, I'm thinking, this is some praying principles right here. I don't know what to pray. I just, Lord, help. And the Holy Spirit's helping me. And here's this poor man. Yeah, right here, Terry. This poor man cried. You know what he's talking about? I don't have any goodness or any merit or some accomplishment in my life that I can give you that would demand your attention, that would strong arm you into forcing you to help me. Oh no, this poor man crying. You know what I'm asking for, Lord? I don't deserve it, but I'm just asking for your mercy. Amen. Don't you love the humility of this prayer? This poor man cried. I don't have any merits. I haven't done something that's going to cause God to listen to me. In fact, God's holy and he's righteous and he's just, and that demands a perfection, and I'm not perfect. And neither was David. So folks, we can't just approach God's throne. He's too holy for that. The only reason we can go to his throne is because he invited us to come boldly. And the reason we can come boldly is because of the merit of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other reason. Amen? Amen. It's because of what the Lord's done. Some people have misinterpreted this verse, I believe. They think, oh, we can come boldly. So you go marching in. Okay, God, here's my list and get her done. Who do you think you are? Folks, do you realize that even being able to approach God's throne is boldness? So therefore, we come humbly. And we cry, this poor man, Lord, I'm here. I have nothing to offer you. I'm asking for your mercy. What, y'all don't like praying or what? You know? Did I throw that by again? Did you not get that one? Oh, mercy sakes. Look at the blessing he gives us in verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. What a promise. What a promise. So David, he vows that he's going to bless the Lord at all times. And then he gives a testimony how it worked out for him. And then it's no wonder he said, number 3, David exhorts others to remain solid in their faith. Number 3 is David exhorts others to remain solid in their faith. Look at it with me in verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Did you realize that this taste, faith is how our soul tastes? Okay? And taste, what is a taste? Well, it's a sample. Do y'all have Walmart and Sam's around here? Okay, back our way, we have a Walmart and Sam's. You go there about lunchtime, guess what they're doing? Free samples. They call them samples. So you go by and they go, you want one? Sure. And you eat it, that's good. Can I have another one? Sure, you know. You go around the aisle, somebody else tells you, you want one? Oh, yeah, I'll take one. You go back and say, hey, can I get one for my wife? Not that I ever made it home to her, but you know, you got one. Not that I've done that, I'm just saying, you know, people sometimes spend their lunch hour at Sam's, okay, getting free samples, because the idea is they want you to buy whatever it is you're saying. They want you to want more. They want the whole thing, right? I'm thinking about this taste. And I think about my wife's homemade chocolate chip cookies and how I like them. And they're like right up close to one of my favorites, right? You know, I believe they are one of my favorites. And pulling them out of the oven, you take it off the rack and they kind of droop down over the spatula when they go on the cooling rack. That and a tall glass of milk and yeah. Amen. Put them in that Tupperware container and I could go around and say, you want one? See, I can tell you that these things are good. You take a bite of that and a little shot of milk go with it, and that chocolate morsel in there kind of like melts down, oozes over your tongue, and you're thinking, glory, this is good, you know. And it is. But y'all don't know that because you've never had one of my wife's cookies. Now, it's your loss, but I could come up and say, you want one? Would you like to try one? And most of you, if you had any sense about you, say, sure. Okay? And then you'll taste it and you go, man, you're right. These are good. Okay, now wait a minute. Notice about the taste. See, that's a personal experience. So you can hear about the testimonies. But until you taste personally, you don't know. So David actually has a twofold invitation here. Unless you've turned to the Lord when you've been in some heartaches where you're hurting, you're feeling rejected, you're running scared maybe for your life, and where you go blows up in your face and you're so beside yourself now, you don't even know how to pray. You just cry out the Lord's name and trust in His mercy as a poor man crying, and God gets involved. And when you're delivered from that, you can say, man, God's good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what He's saying? Oh, taste and see. That's an invitation. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know if you've been rejected. I don't know if you're hurt. I don't know if you're running scared. I don't know if something's threatening your life. I don't know if what you're trying now is about to blow up in your face or has. But I know this. Oh, taste and see. The Lord is good. But unless you taste personally, all you have is my testimony. Or somebody else's testimony stood up and said, oh, the Lord's good. But you don't know personally until you taste. Likewise is salvation. I can tell you about how wonderful it is to be saved, and it is. Oh, it's wonderful. He's a wonderful Savior. You can say it like this, what a Savior. Okay? But you might have heard the testimonies. You might hear them in this church. I'm sure you hear them in this church. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, all you have is their testimony and you're lost and headed to hell. Oh, friend, this morning I want to say, oh, taste and see how wonderful of a Savior He really is. If you've never tasted personally, you're still lost. You heard others shouting about it, giving Him praise about it. Rightfully so, He inhabiteth His praise, okay? But unless you have tasted for yourself the saving powers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're lost this morning. And I encourage you, I urge you, I beg you, come repent of your sin and by faith taste, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And you too can leave here going, He's good. Amen. He's good. And if you're here today with some big old whopping burden, and don't tell me that doesn't happen, because life happens to everyone whether you're saved or not. I'd encourage you to come taste and see how good He is, because He's good. And you hear my testimony, and I do speak the truth, but you don't know personally yet till you come taste. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.